Let's continue in prayer. God, all of life, we live before you. Our comings and our goings, you are present with us every step of the way. And we praise you. We thank you. And we pray that you would help us even in this hour to be attentive to your presence, to hear the word that you long for us to hear, for our hearts indeed to be changed by the power of your word and your spirit, that we might see differently, that we might seek differently in our lives, that we might, Lord, live into the life you've created us for. So we thank you, God, for this chance we have to worship you, to listen, and to be transformed by your spirit. We pray in Jesus' holy name, amen. So I got a question for you as we continue this morning. Has anybody noticed that there's some road construction going on? We've had, meetings here at church, and, you know, I'm always on time. I'm already here. But people are coming, and, they can't get here from there. You know, route A, route B, route C, that's what I keep hearing from people, is every time I try another route, I hit a dead end. I hit road construction. It just takes a while to get anywhere. The other day, I was driving up 35W from a meeting in Minneapolis. And, you know, where Route 36 is, coming around kind of a curving area there. So there's already something going on with the movement. I'm in the left lane, and there's an arrow pointing to merge out of the left lane into the right lane. There's only one lane left, the right lane. And as I'm merging into that lane, of course, going, you know, who knows, probably 40 miles an hour at least or so, moving along a fairly good clip given we're merging, I notice in my peripheral vision that there's another arrow in my lane pointing this way. So I'm following an arrow pointing, and up ahead, I know that there's an arrow pointing this way, and I need a lane. I'm wondering, well, what am I going to do? I can't just keep going unless something opens up for me ahead. And sure enough, I assumed when I got there, it would become clear to me where to go. And when I got there, there's the arrow pointing me to leave the right lane and go back into the left lane. But I couldn't see that. I couldn't know that ahead of time. I had to wait till I got there to see what was coming. And as I came to that second arrow pointing me to go back this direction, the words that came to my mind were, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I'm so grateful for those words that ring so true through the centuries for us. That the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley or some lane changes or road construction, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, this is the confidence of the scriptures. And for literally thousands of years, God's people have gathered together to remember that the Lord is our shepherd, that we can trust him step by step as we venture forward in life. And certainly this morning, in the midst of the changes that are going on for us in our own personal lives, for us as a congregation, we affirm this truth, this fundamental truth that the Lord is our shepherd. In fact, this is why we come together to worship every week. We come together to remember this, to remind each other of this, that the Lord is our God, and this Lord has been faithful in the past. He's faithful today. He can be trusted as we go into the future. Along with Psalm 23, likely the other psalm that is best known would be Psalm 100, the one that's used most often in worship services along with Psalm 23. And I'm going to invite you to read the psalm with me. We'll read it responsively. So I'll read the first, as it's put up on the screen, I'll read the first couple of verses, invite you to read the third verse, the second screen. I'll read the next verse, and then you read. So you'll read the second and fourth screens. Is that pretty clear? Okay, here we go. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Amen. So I want you to notice something. Five verses in here, and verse 3, the verse that takes place right in the middle is this one. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. This verse is at the center of the psalm, and it's the center of our worship with God every week. It needs to be the center of our lives. This is the most fundamental truth that you can know. Know that the Lord is God. Can you say that with me? Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Throughout all the changes of life, from beginning to end, forever, this is the most fundamental truth. And in our world, we have voices calling us all the time to worship other things, other gods, other powers, to put our hope, our faith in other things. We start to worship our worries. We think if we put our hope in the wrong things, we begin to worry. You know, if you've put your hope in your health, you're going to find yourself worrying from time to time. If you put your hope in your finances, you're going to find yourself worrying from time to time. If you put your hope in the political structure or in some political, you're going to find yourself worrying at times. Anytime you find yourself worrying, it's a reminder that you're not worshiping the one true God. When you find yourself worrying, get back on your knees and worship the Lord your God. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are the sheep of his pasture. We can trust him, come what may, as we bow and worship before God. And so week after week, and I pray for you, day after day, you come before God in worship. And when you find your worries start to get to you, let it be a reminder to get back to worshiping the one true God. Know that the Lord is God. You know, I think back to Moses. Remember the story where he's out in the wilderness? There's this burning bush. And God tells him, I want you to go back and talk to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And Moses says, well, who am I that I should go back and tell Pharaoh to let your people go? And we find that Moses is asking the wrong question. The question is not, who are you in the face of this challenge? The question is not, who are you in the face of God's call? The question is, who is God in the face of this challenge? Who is your God in the face of this call? As we worship the Lord our God, we find that we can do all things through him who strengthens us. We can follow his call. We can trust him through the challenges. We can venture forward. We're his people. And when the psalmist says that, he's not just saying that we're God's people because he created us at creation. That's true. But he's saying something far more specific than that. When the Israelites talked about being his people, created by God as the sheep of his pasture, what they're talking about is how God took them out of Egypt, led them through the wilderness, formed them as a people through the challenges, the trials, the tribulations of the wilderness, taught them in the midst of their hunger that they don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, God took them and made them into his own people. And God does that for us too. He does that through the deliverance from Egypt. He does that through the deliverance from exile. But he has done that most fundamentally through his deliverance of us from sin and death and evil through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God has taken a people, as the Apostle Peter says. Listen to this. This is 1 Peter chapter 2. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You see, God has taken us and shaped us and formed us as his people. And as we come together to worship, this is what we do. We remember who God is, and we remember who we are. His people, not because we were so smart, not because we were so righteous, not because we were worthy of his love, but simply because he loves us. Worship flows from that. I mean, a lot of times we think that we worship in order to get God's attention, to get him to like us. No, worship is a response to God's love. We come together and we worship, we remember, we celebrate because God has already loved us. He's called us together. And so our worship is a response to that. And that's why the psalmist says this, worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. You know, this idea of worshiping, centering our lives in him is fundamental to life as a human being. And in the midst of all of the siren calls of our world, the challenges that would lead us to put our faith in other things, we come together week after week, and I pray in your own life day after day, to worship God, to remember the Lord is our God, to worship him with gladness. In fact, this psalm is the only one out of 150 psalms that is titled a psalm of thanksgiving. Isn't that interesting? I mean, so many of the psalms give thanks. But this one, it's a psalm of thanksgiving. The idea is that we praise God with a spirit of thanksgiving. You know, people can and do around the world worship God, praise God from a spirit of abject fear, terror. We don't do that. We come before God with a holy reverence, that kind of fear, but with thanksgiving. Because we know that God loves us. We can do, as the psalmist says in chapter 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Come into his presence, his courts with praise. We can give thanks to him. We can bless his name. That line has been reverberating through my mind all week. This enter his gates with thanksgiving. This idea, if you can imagine the Hebrew people taking this long pilgrimage, took them days, weeks even, people even from other parts of the world coming to the temple in Jerusalem, climbing that hill, coming into the temple, and the sense of joy, elation that we made it here, we're entering into the presence of God, and they would sing with joy to God. But here's the good news. You don't have to go to Jerusalem to enter into the presence of God. The Holy of Holies has been ripped open by Jesus Christ. The veil that separated the Holy of Holies from us has been torn in two. And we enter into the presence of God everywhere we go. In fact, if you remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well, do you remember she's a Samaritan woman? The Samaritans believed that they should worship God on this mountain in Samaria. And she says to Jesus, well, so where should we worship God? Is it here on this mountain or is it in Jerusalem? And he says, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth everywhere we go. In fact, through Jesus Christ, through the gift of his Spirit, our own bodies, our hearts have become temples to the living God. And so every moment we are in the presence of God, we're entering into the presence of God, wherever we might go, if you're entering into, well, your house at the end of the day, enter his gates with thanksgiving, he's there in your house. When you're leaving and you're going to work or to school or into a challenging game or a situation that's terrifying to you, wherever you might go, know that you're entering into the presence of the Lord. He's there. The lane changes. Enter into that next one with joy, giving thanks because God is there. Everywhere you go, this is the truth. You're coming into the presence of God. Remember that. Practice that. That's part of why we worship God day by day and week by week, to remind each other that God is here and God is everywhere as we enter in. 2 years ago, I was on sabbatical and I was walking, as some of you might remember, through the desert. And I had the sense of entering into the presence of God. These big cacti were all around me. And the image that I had was of these angels. As I'm walking with Jesus, these angels just bowing down before Jesus, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Out there in the desert, here's Jesus and the angels, all creation bowing down before him. 2 days ago, I'm riding my bicycle through a beautiful path in the woods, and there's this canopy of woods. It's a little different than down in Arizona. And here again, this image came to my mind of entering into the gates of the Lord, this beautiful place, completely different than the desert. And yet the truth resounds. The truth remains. This is the presence of the Lord that I'm entering into. Wherever you go, whether it seems desert or it seems green with foliage, we are entering into the presence of God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. You know, this is what we hear again and again in the scriptures. As Paul talks to the Thessalonians in chapter 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We enter into each situation, each day, each place we go with thanks to God. Not because we're any stronger than Moses was. Remember? Who am I? Mm-mm. Wrong question. Who is God as you enter into this situation, into this place? Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us. And we are his. He's called you as his own, and he will not let you go. The psalm concludes, why do we do this? For the Lord is good. That's why we worship the Lord with gladness. That's why we enter in with thanksgiving. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. The Lord is good all the time. Wherever we go, wherever we are, the Lord is good. This is that fundamental truth that we are worshiping the one that we can trust. I've been talking a lot with Cindy, our organist. And if you haven't been in that service and heard her play, you ought to do it sometime. She's amazing. Just like our worship team here, I'm just week after week so blessed in all of our services by the musicians that God has given us to lead us in this worship. Her house burned virtually to the ground a few months ago. So if you didn't know that, I just invite you to be praying for her. We've had just about everybody asking, what can we do? Please, we want to help. And I've made that clear to her. She'll let us know when the time comes that maybe we can do something. But right now, she's just doing that long process of working with the insurance agents and all the rest of that. And it's happening slowly but surely. They're rebuilding. But here's been the amazing thing in talking to her. She's spoken about how important it has been for her week after week to come and worship. In the midst of her house burning down, her things being lost, all these challenges before her, to come week after week and to remember, to be reminded, know that the Lord is God and that the Lord is good and you can trust him. You know, we need to know that. We need to remind each other of that. There are those weeks, I'm sure, for her where she's like, I don't know. She comes to church and we tell her, no, it's true. Believe it. The Lord is God and he is good. You can trust him. And there are other times when I'm the one that's struggling and she plays that organ for me and she reminds me, the hymn reminds me, you remind me. No, Mark, know that the Lord is God and he is good. You can trust him. We need to worship. At the heart of worship is this reminder in the midst of a world that tells us otherwise, that tells us the lies, to worship all kinds of other things. And when we worship other things, our lives get out of balance, out of center. But when we worship God, when God is at the center, everything else begins to come into balance, into right relationship. And so I want to thank you for coming and worshiping with me week after week, for reminding me of this most fundamental truth. And to place God, just as God is at the center of this psalm, to place God again and again at the center of my life, at the center of my worship. And I want to invite you, even today, in the midst of whatever is going on in your life, to place God, knowing that God is God and that God is good. I want you to place that at the center. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for revealing to us more than any scripture, any experience in history, more than anything, you have revealed to us that God is good all the time. That God can be trusted through every challenge and experience. That you are with us, that you, by your power, by your love, have claimed us as your own. And so, Lord, we lift up to you the challenges that so many here are facing, whether they be of health or finances or relationships. We lift up to you, God, our worries and concerns for our world. We lift up to you, O God, our lives and this church. We lift up to you again, the Pease family. We lift up to you, Lord God, those in our own families who may be struggling, those who may be setting out on new adventures like our graduates, or those who are waiting for the next road sign and wondering where it will lead. God, thank you that you are good all along the way, that you are the good shepherd always. Help us to worship you, to keep you at the center. We pray with thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.